Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and you are tuning in to Therapy in a Nutshell here on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. This is Dr. Patty, and we are going to be talking about what I call Dr. Google. And I'm not the only one that calls it that. There's a lot of medical professionals that call it that, and it's a definite phenomenon in the world today. So it has created some harm, created some anxiety, and also served some good purposes, too. But what we need to do is talk about exactly what is Dr. Google and how can it harm you and what can you do to utilize that cyber availability for you in a productive way and not a harmful way. So let's talk about exactly what is Dr. Google. When any of us get sick or have some weird problem or even some normal problem, it's in today's world, it's easy to think, well, I'll just Google it. We Google everything. We Google recipes. We Google trying to find a friend. You can use Google for just about anything. So people have a medical issue, and they automatically Google it. A lot of people do. So you end up getting a whole bunch of websites and a whole bunch of input on what you deem as a possible problem that you're experiencing. Now, the problem with this is that sometimes you can get informed by what's going on and feel okay about things and actually relax. And sometimes you can amp yourself up with one symptom after another until you're absolutely certain you're about to die. So what I end up seeing sometimes in my practice is what I call Dr. Google induced anxiety. And medical doctors tell me people come in for an appointment and they're absolutely certain they know what they have. They've already diagnosed themselves, usually with something pretty horrendous. And they see the doctor then has a job not only to check out what's going on with you and give you a proper diagnosis, but they have to calm your fears. And they're faced with this kind of darned if they do and darned if they don't scenario where if they don't listen that you might have something really horrendous and horrible, then maybe they're being incompetent or not sensitive or whatever. Many doctors find themselves ordering lots of expensive tests just to calm the patient, not because it's actually what they think is needed. So medical doctors are walking a fine line between listening, caring, and being compassionate, and wanting you to just stop doing Dr. Google and coming in with all your answers. So let's look at the flip side of this, though, because often what happens in today's society is people do not feel they get the attention from their medical doctors that they would like. You know, think back in the days when doctors made house calls, when you would go into a doctor and you would have plenty of time to talk to them and you weren't rushed. That is not what it's like in most doctors' offices in today's society. For example, let's say that you have a medical concern. You've been suffering fatigue. Your hair's been falling out. You've got a weird rash on your body that's kind of embarrassing. And you don't particularly want to go talk to your doctor about any of this stuff, and you've Googled it, and you're absolutely certain you're dying of some horrible cancer. And so you finally make your doctor's appointment. You call the doctor's office finally, and you get an appointment for, what, 2 months from now, 6 weeks from now, sometimes if you're lucky, a week or two from now. And you go into the doctor's, and do you have time to tell your doctor? In the 3 to 6 minutes your doctor may have allowed for you for your office visit, can you tell him or her about the 10 things you're concerned about with your health? It gets hard. So people don't want to be seen as hypochondriacs. They don't want to look like idiots. So they don't want to talk about everything they're concerned about. It is an unusual doctor, and I do know I'd like to say some, but I know one, who's incredibly good at this, who takes his time, takes a complete history with people, and even during your medical appointment will say, is there anything else that you're concerned about that you'd like to ask me about? And allows the time to actually do an intense medical workup on a patient. But that is an exception in today's world, and people are often afraid when they go to the doctor that they can't get all their information in the 3 minutes allotted to them or the 6 minutes allotted to them. So that's the flip side of why people tend to Dr. Google. They are looking for answers. They want to be proactive with taking care of their health. And they're not necessarily feeling like they're getting the care that they want from their medical professional. So when you start to look up the things that you need to know or want to know, how can it be helpful? Well, like let's say that you have some kind of rash and you look up different kind of skin disorders and rashes and you can actually compare pictures online to the rash that's on your arm and say, oh, okay, that's hives or that's looks like poison oak or, you know, that looks like a kind of rash that happens when you have a contact dermatitis, like you changed your laundry detergent and it's on your clothes and it's bothering your skin. And it's not something that's life-threatening, and you're just kind of looking, and you get a couple of ideas of how to treat it, and it's not life-threatening. That's not necessarily a bad thing and can save you some time and money and heartache. But it's the more serious things that people tend to go down rabbit trails, leading them to very anxiety-producing self-diagnoses and create havoc for physicians when you go into their office and tell them you're certain what you have. And let me give you an example of this. Fatigue is a very common complaint in a huge variety of health issues, whether it's low thyroid or just you're tired or you're stressed, to anemia. And is it part of very serious life-threatening conditions? Absolutely. So if you type in that you have fatigue and you do a Google search on that, you could end up within half an hour being certain you're dying of brain cancer or that, you know, you've got some horrid exotic disease that nobody's heard of. And it can scare you. And in that scaring you, you can go through weeks of anxiety worrying about yourself as you wait to get into a doctor's office. And then the other phenomenon I see is sometimes people have Dr. Googled themselves to death and are certain they have something horrible, but they're afraid to go into their doctor and say, do you think I could have this? Because they know that that's kind of wrong to do that, and they feel like an idiot saying that. So they'll avoid going to the doctor, or they'll avoid going and getting a diagnosis because they're certain they're dying, or it's going to be a painful treatment, or it's going to be invasive or embarrassing. So they don't want to go and check out what's happening. So this Dr. Google phenomenon has been interesting. It has been helpful in some regards, and we have become more educated sometimes about our own health issues. But it has also created a whole lot of anxiety. And it has created an extra workload and burden for health professionals. Now, this also happens in my field, in the mental health industry. People will come in and they're absolutely certain that they have a severe personality disorder. I've had people, it is not unusual for someone to sit down in my office and say, okay, I think I'm borderline personality disorder. And I'll go, oh, really? What makes you so certain that's what you have? And they'll list off a whole lot of symptoms. But they've actually been going through some tremendous stress in their life. And I can tell you something. Everybody looks a little crazy when something horrible happens in their life. And you want, are those symptoms of borderline personality disorder? They can be, but you most likely are just stressed and traumatized and going through something horrible. It does not necessarily mean you have the personality disorder. So we're going to go to break. And when we come back, I want to talk to you about how this can happen in the best of people, the smartest of people, that they can get lost and how the Dr. Google thing can really mess them up. We're live on the air today. If you'd like to call in, if you have a personal example that you'd like to share, you can do that anonymously. You can call area code 530-605-5555. 1-800-875-4567, and my producer, Jared, will answer. You can do it anonymously or even just ask him a question to ask me. You don't have to be on the air if you don't want to be. So we're going to go to break, and we'll be back in a minute.
Pulse Urgent Care is happy to announce the reopening of our urgent care clinic. Our hours are Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., Saturday 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., and closed on Sundays. To protect the patients and the staff, we will continue to follow the recommendations on social distancing and face coverings. If you have or had a fever, cough, or shortness of breath within the last 14 days, please call ahead at 530-722-1111 for screening. Check out our website and Facebook page for more information. PulseUrgentCareCenter.com, 100 East Cypress Avenue. If it's urgent for you, it's important to What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty, and you are listening to the deep and illustrious song called Shadows from the Journey. This is Randy McGinnis's fifth CD. Randy McGinnis is a Native American flute player, award-winning, played all over the world, is currently the Lifetime Achievement Award for Native American Flute for 2020. He's an amazing, amazing musician, and we are deeply grateful that he allows us to use his music on this show. I think it speaks to what we're all going through in terms of emotional issues. So, you can listen at randymcginnis.com, Spotify, Pandora, Amazon, iTunes, all sorts of places. Okay, we are talking about Dr. Google and how it can be helpful, but most of the time it is anxiety-producing and leads you down some rabbit trails that can be extremely fearful, fear-inducing, and worry and concern-inducing. So I wanted to share with you, in my profession of psychology, those of us who deal with students, I've taught at National University, and a lot of other professionals I know have taught on the college level, and also supervised interns, and they have what we all call intern syndrome. Many of them do. Intern syndrome, and medical doctors call it med student disease, is where you learn about a new mental illness, or in the medical doctor's concern, medical doctor arena, they'll learn about a medical illness, and all of a sudden these new students will be absolutely certain they have that disease. I have actually had interns that I've been supervising come in and say, you know, I'm absolutely certain that I'm bipolar and I'm really out of control and I probably have multiple personalities and I'm, you know, I think I've got borderline personality disorder and I shouldn't be doing this profession. And you try not to smile, but the intern syndrome thing is real. You learn enough about symptoms and you can probably find two or three that fit what you have. So we're talking about graduate level interns in psychology. We're talking about medical students that by the time a lecture is over, they're absolutely certain they have that disease. And it takes a while of figuring out that everybody has a little bit of dysfunction somewhere. That's part of being human. So do you ever get depressed? Do you ever have the blahs? Do you ever feel anxiety, even though you're a healthy, well-balanced person? Absolutely. We all do. And we can stop and say something's really wrong with me, or we can say, in this moment, I'm struggling with something. So just remember that if psychology students and medical students can do this, it's real easy for the average bear out there to say something's really wrong with me. So when you feel that you have an issue going on in your life, is it okay to get on the internet and start typing in your symptoms and see what happens? Absolutely. We are free Americans who can look. And you have to be thankful for that, because there are some countries that absolutely limit their internet access, limit their citizens' abilities to Google things or look for information freely on the internet. They don't have that freedom that we have here. So you can look up stuff and you can read it. You have to know that just because it's not on the internet, because it's on the internet, doesn't make it true. And that goes for everything, whether it's politics or health issues or advertisements or products for sale. You have to be discerning. And there's this kind of phenomenon in our heads that if we read it on the internet, it must be true. And I think as time is going on, people are beginning to say, I need to check that out or look for other sources. So by the end of the show, I want to give you some things that you can do when you have health issues and how you can utilize things that you've gotten from the internet and how you can take that to your doctor. So we're going to do that in the last section of the show. But right now, I want you to recognize that often when we Dr. Google something, we create anxiety. And I want to give you an example. I had a client who was refusing to go to the doctor. She was absolutely certain she had something horrible, and that if she went to the doctor, she was going to get a bad diagnosis. She also was very hesitant about pelvic exams and anything that was embarrassing. And this problem that she had, she was certain that she had some kind of uterine cancer or something like that, and she was refusing to get it checked out. But she was Dr. Googling the heck out of it and had determined that she was probably dying. Now, she came to me because she was saying, I really need to go to the doctor, and I have a phobia about going, and I don't want to. And so we worked on that true phobia. She was really avoiding going. But part of the other issue was that she had Dr. Googled it so much that her anxiety was off the charts. So we worked on her making a call to her doctor and taking a support person in with her to go. And it turned out that it was not a big, huge, bad issue. And she dealt with it. And she did have to go through a pelvic exam. It was not anything out of the ordinary. And she was glad that she finally went and found out what it was. But it was interesting because she said, I had months of unnecessary anxiety and worry that was in addition to my phobia about going to the doctor. So we talked about the aspect of what happens when you Dr. Google something, and it keeps you from getting an expert medical opinion. So stop and say, what are the things that you've Dr. Googled? Whether it's fatigue or hair loss, or you're trying to figure out what vitamin to take, or you get hooked on one of these Facebook sites that says you can drop 90 pounds in a month or whatever they say that are absolutely ludicrous. But you start chasing down these rabbit trails of something that your heart's desire is to fix about yourself. You are at risk for false advertising or being directed in a way that is harmful to you. And you've lost a bit of your objectivity because you are desperately seeking an answer to something that's bothering you. So I'm just asking you to do a call to consciousness right now and ask yourself, what is it about you that frightens you or bothers you? Is it some aspect of your body or some aspect of your health? Or have you been struggling with an emotional issue such as depression or anxiety? And have you been Googling that to find out what you need to do about it or what could possibly be happening to you? And just remember that that can lead down to reading different websites and different articles that then can lead you into a deep abyss of worry. And it's important to know that that's what you're doing to yourself. I actually have clients that are kind of grounded from Dr. Google because it was creating huge anxiety for them and not helping anything. So when I said to them, look, this is not a good avenue of health and healing for you and actually creates a tremendous amount of harm. And they finally bought that idea and said, all right, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm just not going to do it. It's not good for me. It has helped them tremendously. So stop and look at your Dr. Google issues and is it healthy for you or should you be putting it away? So let's look at the idea of you have an issue and you want to find out what's going on with it. It's okay to look and find out information. It's also okay to jot down a couple of concerns. What you need to do is find a mental health professional or find a medical doctor that you can take your concerns to who will listen. And one way I recommend doing that is to call your medical professional and say when you make the appointment, I have several small concerns that I'd like to talk to the doctor about my health. And the nurse may ask you what are they, and you might list a few. But you can set the appointment up that you're not going for just one minute thing. You're going for several concerns. And that sometimes helps so that you can actually make good use of your doctor's appointment. Now, the bigger issue here with Dr. Google is not only that it can create anxiety and avoidance and fears in people, but it also creates a lot of havoc for the medical professionals who have to undo your misinformation and have to try to get you on a path to a proper diagnosis. My dear friend, Dr. Richard Malotke, incredible medical physician here in Redding, California, has agreed to call in the third part of the show, and he's going to talk to us some about the dangers of Dr. Google. We know that there can be some positive things where people learn some things, but I really want you to hear from a well-respected medical professional who's had a private practice for 35, 40 years and is an amazing physician to tell you what is okay about it and what are the dangers of Dr. Google. So we're going to go to break, and when we come back, we're going to talk with Dr. Richard Malotke. Thanks.
Working from home? Conference calls?
You're still on mute, John.
With everything we have going on right now, it's never been more important to get the sleep we need. Quality Sleep is a natural immune booster, and only the Sleep Number 360 smart bed senses your movements and automatically adjusts your comfort and support on both sides, your Sleep Number setting. So, all those other things we're doing to stay healthy and happy, well, they'll work better too. Don't miss our Memorial Day sale. Save $1,000 on the Queen Sleep Number 360 Special Edition smart bed, now only $17.99, ends Sunday. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
So what's scorecard scribbling's all about?
I was scared for my life at that point. I remember looking to the right and seeing all the medical supplies there, and I'm just thinking, are they going to cut off a leg? What are we doing here?
I had a coach that would come up to me on the plane, stick his hand out. I knew what he wanted. Who am I not to give him to him? Like, I thought, okay, job security.
We came to the ballpark every day. We knew we were going to win. It's a great experience, a great feeling to have a club like that.
Scorecard Scribblings with Brent Weber, Wednesday night from 6 to 7 on KCNR.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name. Knowing that lending decisions are made locally by people you call neighbor or serve alongside when supporting a worthy cause. There's confidence in knowing that when you place your trust in Cornerstone Community Bank, you not only help yourself, you support the town you call home. Stop by one of our Reading or Red Bluff branches or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank. We invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
Oh, no. Okay, Bear.
Carla Bear.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and you are listening to us talk about Dr. Google. And so we're waiting for Dr. Richard Malachi to call in. Hopefully that didn't get messed up. I'm going to be sitting here doing his job. He's an amazing physician. So, phone is ringing. It must be him. What we want to talk to Dr. Malachi about is, what are some of the dangers of Dr. Google, and what has he seen in his practice? Because every physician friend or colleague that I know of has mentioned this, sometimes laughing, sometimes kind of irritated, sometimes really wondering how they can get people to stop it. So we got him on there. Hey, Dr. Malachi, are you there?
Oh, hello, Dr. Patty. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for being willing to call in. As you know, we've been talking about Dr. Google and what people do. And what I really want you to speak to our listeners, is how can Dr. Google be dangerous and harmful to people? We know that sometimes people get some information and come in and say, see the skin rash, I Googled it and it says it's hives, what do you think? I mean, that's not too intrusive, but tell us some ways that you worry about it being really dangerous.
Well, okay. So there are plenty of examples of that.
Yeah.
And, speaking to Dr. Google, I am old, so I trained before we had any of this stuff. And some doctors really hate Dr. Google. Personally, I kind of like patients to have access to all the information. Even before they had access to all the information, before there were computers or cell phones, a lot of times the patients would sort of know what they had, even the folks that can't read and write. If you talk to them long enough, you know, they have a pretty good idea of what's wrong with them. So, and I think that's generally true about folks. As far as is it dangerous or not, so the problem happens within the individual where they are so confident after reading about their symptoms that they think that they can, you know, skip the step of going to the doctor. And and sometimes, you know, they can. And I don't think that's bad, but it can be really bad if they think that they have something that, if they're wrong, you know, if they think they have something that they don't have. And, or especially like the common mistakes are rashes or moles. Rashes hardly ever are, you know, bad for you or hardly ever have serious consequences. But, you know, diagnosing your mole as a benign thing when it's a melanoma, that can cost you your life. So, and I've seen that before. So,
right, I've seen that too.
Yeah, or you know, breast lumps. Most of the time women are anxious or a little frightened when they find a lump, but every now and then you'll get a real confident one who just says, oh, I thought it was no big deal. And and then that's a sad discussion.
The other phenomenon I see with Dr. Google is parents will be absolutely certain what their children have. They've diagnosed them. And they want to come in for you to reaffirm that their child is bipolar or depressed, and like in my business. In your business, do you see parents coming in with absolute certainty that they know what their child has?
Well, yeah, it's not unusual for, you know, especially for infectious disease or, you know, my kid's wrist is really crooked because they just fell off the back porch and it's broken.
Yeah.
You know, most of the time they're pretty accurate. I think it's a little slipperier your line of work because, you know, psychiatric diagnoses, I think, are quite a bit tougher and not always clear cut, or sometimes, you know, people have a little bit of this and a little bit of that, but they don't have, they aren't very often like the description in the book or in Dr. Google.
Right.
And the same thing goes with heart disease. You know, sometimes people will be certain that they're having indigestion when really they're about 5 minutes away from being unconscious.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's, when I was in the ER, I was in the ER a lot, in my training, and we run into that, and that was before Dr. Google. We run into that quite often. So it's just, you know, one of my colleagues said, don't confuse Dr. Google with my medical degree. And it's kind of tongue-in-cheek, but and it's not meant to sound like, hey, you know, we're the only smart people in the room, because that's not true. But there is something to be said for experience and you know, 11 years of studying your butt off, so.
Yes, that's true. But, you know, there's another example I can think of that's really important. Let's say your elderly parent or grandparent or whatever is starting to go into cognitive decline, and they start looking at placing them or certain they're going into Alzheimer's. They've diagnosed it themselves, and they look up Dr. Google, and it says short-term memory dysfunction and this problem and that problem, this problem, and the family has diagnosed the elderly person with some kind of dementia, usually Alzheimer's. And from your perspective, I mean, when you and I have teamed cases before, you have said, look, a messed up thyroid, there are so many other things that can be creating cognitive decline that can be treated that have nothing to do with terminal brain diseases.
And oh, yeah. First of the time, they roll in the ER and say, hey, grandma's got dementia, and all you got to do is check their urine. You know, if they're over 75, they can't feel that they have a bladder infection. And, you know, after 12 hours of antibiotics, they're beating you on the chessboard.
You know?
So, yeah, there's a lot of organic things, medical reasons why people might appear to be suffering cognitive decline. What I like to do is rule out what we're supposed to do, is rule out all of those things first before you just slap a diagnosis on them. The other thing that's good for when folks first come in, because that's a common complaint, even from an individual, they'll say, gee, I feel like, or I'm worried about, you know, I walked into a room and I didn't remember why I was there. And, you know, I've been doing that for quite a while now, but it doesn't mean that you're getting dementia. But one of the things, one of the tools we have for that is to get a baseline evaluation, baseline cognitive functioning. And that gets all the, you know, guesswork, or most of the guesswork out of it.
I think it's so cool when people can get a baseline cognitive functioning test, because then 10 years from now, if they do start going into something, we've got a baseline to look at that says 10 years ago your cognitive functioning was superb, and now it's definitely impaired.
It's a very good tool, and it's also a nice thing for reassurance. I remember a patient one time, she was, she's retired. She was about 83, I think, I recall, and she was a retired archaeologist. And she traveled all over the world on digs, and she was way smarter than most people, and she was worried she was getting dementia. I sent her for one of those cognitive evaluations, and she scored so high that the tester said, well, you know, this woman does not have dementia.
Right.
So that in that way, the test can sometimes reassure you. As far as Dr. Google goes in my line of work, a lot of what I do is reassuring, and oftentimes I'm confirming, you know, what they already think. One of my, not so much the mistakes that are made, but one of my objections to Dr. Google is a little bit different. That's where the patient puts in their symptoms, and the result says 99% of people with these symptoms have this boring, benign thing, but 1% have a brain tumor.
Right.
And there's a certain amount of patients who come in, and they know they're the 1%. They've got the brain tumor. And that's frustrating.
Right. Well, it's that old adage, when you hear hoofbeats, think horses, not zebras.
Exactly.
And that's what can happen with Dr. Google. All of a sudden, people hear zebras, and they're certain that they have some strange and unusual and deadly disease that's going to take them out. And I have a question for you. Some doctor friends of mine have told me that they feel pressured to implement tests or do things that are going to confirm what the patient has come in fearful they had. And they either have to talk them out of getting that MRI or that brain scan or that whatever, because it isn't truly warranted, and they have to balance that with soothing the patient. Have you gotten into that conundrum before with your patients?
Not very often. Sometimes someone, you know, a patient will come in with both feet planted firmly on the ground and their arms crossed in front of their chest, and by God, they want that CAT scan. And, you know, you do run into that sometimes.
It's a dance, isn't it?
reassurance sometimes helps, but, and I somehow magically have not ever been sued in 35 years of private practice, so I'm not worried about the liability angle, which I think some of my colleagues still do that. They end up getting a lot of tests to CYA. Even though it's a 1 in 1,000 chance that they'll have that zebra in the closet. So,
yeah.
I think most of the time, most people that do my job just try to, I don't know, cut the baby in half and try to do what's best for the person. And sometimes that takes a little cajoling, but most people are pretty reasonable.
Well, I think you do an incredible job with that because you spend an inordinate amount of time compared with other physicians with your patients. You give them time to tell you their concerns and their fears, and you truly look at history, and you ask the question, is there anything else that's bothering you that you want to ask me? And you don't act like your 3 minutes is up and you need to race over to the next exam room. You're unusual that way. And
beautiful. I practice how I was taught, but it comes to mind, I think the second week in med school, they brought this retired family doctor in front of the class, and he looked, and he was, you know, he was probably my age. I said he's old, but, you know, he looked like he was 64, but he said, look, you're going to make 99% of your diagnoses on the basis of history alone, on talking to the patient, and 1% on, you know, x-rays. And back then, of course, we didn't have CAT scans or MRIs. We just barely had electricity back then.
Oh, get out of here.
And, anyway, but at first we looked at each other, all the students, and we thought, no, that can't be right, you know, because, you know, we had all this access to all these fancy blood tests. And, boy, after a couple of months of working, we knew he was right. You just have to, it's my job is a game of 20 questions, and if you only have time to ask 5, it's a tough job to do.
Yeah, and it's an incomplete job to do. And I, at the beginning of the show, I was talking about sometimes why people Dr. Google is because they're very fearful that about the 3 minutes they're going to get with their doctor. And they want to go in and say, okay, see this rash? Look at it. I think it's this. Because they're not feeling like they're going to get enough attention to talk about what they're afraid of with what's going on. And
well, I think, yeah, pointing that out, that's one of the problems with the current practice model, which is completely different than what I was taught, you know, 42
right.
years ago. So, but if the doctors are doing that volume business, then they only have time for one of the problems on your problem list, if that.
Exactly. We're going to go to break, but I'm wondering if you have time, Dr. Mlotky, to stick around for the last section. What I want to do is ask people or tell, I want them to learn when you have a health concern, here's what you can do with Dr. Google in a productive way, and here's how you can take that information to your doctor in a way that will streamline your concerns if you only have a few minutes with your doctor, but also be productive and open to your doctor's expertise. So can you stick around and do that with me at the end?
Yeah, I'll just hold, no problem.
Oh, thank you. You're a doll. All right, we're going to go to break, and we'll be back in a minute.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and 2 sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and 2 fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palo Cedro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvy with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM online and AM 1460. It's time. Businesses are starting to reopen, and we need to support our local economy. We would like to thank our sponsors that supported our station throughout this event. As we move forward, we'd like to remind our listeners to support local businesses and see them thrive again. You can make that happen by dining at your favorite restaurant and shopping at your favorite store. They have been there for us. Now it's time for us to be there for them. Shop local.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. You are listening to track one of The Journey, a beautiful CD by Randy McGinnis. On the line here with me, I've got Dr. Richard Mulocki, medical physician here in Redding, California. He's been in private practice for 35, 40 years. Dr. M?
35.
And he's known and respected. He's an incredible diagnostician. He's known and respected for that and has an incredible reputation here in town for being a patient and kind doctor who really does a good job. And I'm not trying to get you business. I know that you're very busy, but I appreciate you coming on to talk about this whole Dr. Google phenomenon. And so here in the last segment of the show, what I wanted to do is leave our listeners with, okay, how can I use Dr. Google in an effective manner, not let it put me into that cyber chondria, I think is how you say it, which is anxiety that increases due to health-related searches. There's actually a name for this. And
yeah,
we don't want people to have Dr. Google-induced anxiety. That's basically what it is. But you can use your research and your intelligence to use it in a good way, but then how do you want them to do that, Dr. Mulocki, and then come into you in a productive manner, not a frightened manner, and not a bossy manner either?
Well, yeah, most people actually aren't bossy, or they're not bossy with me, but they're mostly are really nice to me. But, one of the really important things that you just mentioned, which I encourage my patients to do, is make a list.
Mm-hmm.
Because it may seem a disjointed thing when they're sitting writing it down on their kitchen table, but you know, when they come in and we go over their list, a lot of times to me it will end up being crystal clear with a few more questions of what's the probable diagnosis. So
mm-hmm.
and you can use Google, and you know, one of my instructors always used to say knowledge is power, and knowledge is power. So the more knowledge you have, I mean, it never hurts you to know more about something. Never saw that happen before.
Right.
So
I agree.
The thing that I like about this immediate access to information and data is that it makes people, it empowers them. It makes people more powerful. And sometimes, and this is the way I like to try to use it, sometimes that you can, it will help me help them motivate to change their ways. It's like, we've got this COVID-19 thing going on, and a lot of people have been coming in. We've talked about that before. People are coming in pretty scared and anxious, and they've been reading and seeing the news. And, you know, and what I'll do is if and a lot of them are, you know, overweight, or some of them are smoking, or some of them are controlling their diabetes, then I'll just look at them and say, well, you've learned all this stuff about how your body works. Well, why don't we take some actual proactive steps to improve the functioning of your immune system? because your immune system is a much better doctor than anybody I've ever met. A lot better doctor than me. So the fear
that they've researched could then be the motivator for them to change some things to improve their health.
Yeah, you can sometimes channel that fear into productive change. And, you know, getting someone to lose 20 pounds, although it's so difficult to do, everything works better. I mean, you know, folks who are, well, there's all these BMI data, but folks who are about 40 pounds overweight or more, they have 60% higher risk of carcinoma of any kind. Breast, colon, prostate. I mean, it's just, it's real. It's a real statistic. But, you know, I gain weight walking through Costco eating those samples. And I guess now I heard they're starting to give the samples again. It's just like, oh, great.
They did take them away for a while. And then there's that
COVID-19
disease where people have gained 10 to 20 pounds, right?
Oh, yeah. I've got the COVID-19 under my belt.
Yeah. It's, you know, everybody's human. And I just love how you're so aware of that. It's so cool. But so one of the things I tell people is, when, especially when they're frightened of going to the doctor, or they come in because they have super anxiety and some of it's about their health concerns, is I say, look, type out a list, double space it. It doesn't matter if there's 20 things on there. If you walk in with your doctor and say, hey, doc, these are the things that are worrying me, the doctor can read down that list in a minute or two and then start asking you productive questions. Be open, be honest, be vulnerable with your doctor.
Yeah, in fact, you know, well, again, I was taught a long time ago, but, you know, we were taught, hey, if the doctor doesn't want you to bring in a list, go to a different doctor. Because, you know, you're paying for that time, and it's expensive to see, you know, people like me. And anyway, that's a whole other story. But get the most out of your time. Be prepared. If you prepare even for 5 or 10 minutes for your visit, then I can help you better, and you can feel more confident about, you know, if the patients are convinced, and part of my job is convincing them that they have what I think they have.
Mm-hmm.
And
or that they don't have what they think they have.
Exactly, all that.
Yeah.
But if I can get them to buy into, or get them, I guess, convinced that I'm right, and or that they're right, and get them to buy into doing something about it, that's kind of what I'm supposed to do.
Right.
And I always feel like a little, like my best day ever is when someone comes in and said, hey, I quit smoking. Or I had a lady come in, I guess it was in February, and she lost 40 pounds last year. I mean, we didn't even recognize her sitting in the waiting room. She, you know, she had a little smile on her face. I mean, we were so proud of her. She's off her diabetes medicine, off her blood pressure medicine. I mean, those are the little non-financial rewards for my job, which is pretty cool to see people doing that.
I think that's really wonderful because you're right. Our own immune system, building up of our own immune system, is our best doctor to help us prevent disease and tackle anything that we might be exposed to.
Oh, in fact, you know, it's working for you every day. Your body's fighting little things off that you never even know that it's doing it. And you may spend months or even years without feeling sick, but that doesn't mean your immune system has been sitting on its hands.
Right.
Your immune system is working.
I can actually feel my immune system work, which I really like. Like, I'll feel myself start to kind of get a cold, and I can feel my body fight it off, and it'll go away. And it's a real, I think it's a neat feeling. I actually kind of say thank you to my immune system when that happens.
It's
nice.
Learning about it, you know, the research guys are still, we're learning more and more about it and how to try to, you know, modulate some of the immune response. Even, you know, if we could do a little better job on these poor COVID patients who their immune system is basically killing them,
right.
Then we would, we'd have a lot fewer people on ventilators.
Yes.
Yeah,
and so, that's, you know, just to kind of sum up here in the last few minutes of the show, it's the idea of researching what you're fearful about or worried about or thinking about might be happening with you is okay, but you have to take the stuff you read on the internet with a grain of salt. It is not all true. Some of it is particularly fear-mongering to try to get you to buy weird products.
Oh, yeah.
The snake oil is what I call that.
Yeah, there's a lot of that because, you know, this is America and people are trying to make a buck, and I get it, but, yeah, folks will come in with a shopping bag full of all these supplements and, you know, and most of them don't harm, but almost all of them don't harm. But whether it's worth the money that they're spending is another, a whole nother story.
Something that has always stuck with me is that physicians in other countries say that Americans have the most expensive pee they have ever seen.
Oh, no doubt, yeah.
From all the stuff they take and just send out the other way.
Yeah, they just, it just ends up in the septic tank, so.
Exactly. Isn't that funny?
You know, the old reliable things that your mom would have told you about eating right and getting good sleep and mm-hmm. all that sort of thing, some physical exercise, those go a long way.
Yeah.
Keeping you out of it keeps you out of the doctor's office, which is the goal.
Yes, I agree. So, you know, the idea that people get, I hear this in my office often when I tell people to make a list to take into their doctor and they say, oh, I can't do that. I'll look like an idiot, or they won't appreciate that, or will I be being too bossy or something like that? And I always say, no, they appreciate you being efficient and succinct.
Well,
and the other thing is then that list that you gave them goes into your chart. And the doctor can say, this is what you told me 6 months ago, you know, and now we're seeing more of that or less of that, or you're better or whatever. So it's not a bad thing to do, to make a list, even if you got some of your symptoms from Dr. Google. Put them on there and put a question mark after them.
Sure, yeah. And I think trusting, I sometimes will try to talk people into trusting their body. And people say, well, what do you mean, trust my body? Just let it do its job. You know, take care of yourself. But then, you know, take the break off and see how fast you go.
Yes. I think that's wonderful advice. Well, you know, I really appreciate having you as an available resource for things like this because you have such a reasonable and compassionate input into this whole type of stuff. And I think it gives people a lot of comfort to hear someone with your medical expertise and your many, many years of diagnosing and treating people with such expertise and compassion. It's such a wonderful combination. So,
well, you've got the hard job between the two of us because, you know, mine is a little more, you know, cut and dried, and yours is, you know, we used to say in psychiatry classes, they'd say, faith is not the final frontier. The space between your ears is the final frontier.
Well, that's kind of true.
I think diagnosing psychiatric and treating psychiatric disorders is one of the toughest thing I do, so my hat's off to you.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. I guess I'm passionate about it like you are passionate about medical stuff. It's kind of cool. Well, we make a good team when we help somebody together. I like that.
Yeah, that passion helps.
So I just want to thank Dr. Richard Mulaki, physician here in Redding, California, for your time and your willingness to help so many people with your input. It's really a blessing to have you available to call.
Okay, Patty. Hey, have a good day. Okay.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you, Dr. Mulaki. Take care.
Okay. Bye.
Okay, everybody, just to sum up real quick, the Dr. Google thing, it's not always a bad thing, but it can create a ton of anxiety that is unnecessary and harmful to you. So when you're doing the Dr. Google shtick, just say, hey, I'm doing Dr. Google. I need to not get carried away from it. If you are obsessed with Dr. Googling and it is harming your health, it's creating anxiety for you and fear and all of that, I want you to consider putting that away. You're grounded from Dr. Google is what I tell some of my clients because it's creating far more harm for you than it is good. If you can use it judiciously to gain some knowledge and educate yourself on some possibilities and can thoughtfully write out a list and put question marks after it and hand that to your doctor, and you're not going to avoid seeing a medical professional who can help you with what you're worried about, then use Dr. Google judiciously, okay, and thoughtfully. And get an appointment with your doctor, even if it takes a while. And if you're worried, ask for the soonest cancellation you can get an appointment anyway. All right, well, I appreciate you listening today, and I hope we've helped a few people with this intense Dr. Google anxiety that is definitely out there in the world. This is Dr. Patricia Bay. Ooh, and there's me playing didgeridoo. I love that. I play didge on this song on The Journey of Randy McGinnis's CD. So this is Dr. Patricia Bay. You've been listening to Therapy in a Nutshell, where we want to just help heal the world 1 hour at a time.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.